Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk again about the Kingdom of God, and we're going to talk about shift. And we just talked about in the previous show about 10 steps towards tyranny, and of course God wants you to be free souls under Him. So what would be the 10 steps towards liberty under God? And what is liberty under God? Well, it's the Kingdom of God. The Kingdom of God is liberty under God. It's God as your king. God as the authority in your life. God is the guide in your life. He sends the Holy Spirit. You can follow the Holy Spirit, and there are no checkpoints to stop you from following the Holy Spirit. There are checkpoints that you can put up that are talked about in the Bible. You know, are you murdering people? Are you robbing people? Are you coveting your neighbor's goods? These are checkpoints in the Ten Commandments that say you're not following God. If you're doing those things, you're not following God. Now, if you don't follow in one thing, how far off course will you end up? If you're off just a degree on your trip across from Los Angeles to Japan, if you're just off a degree, you're going to miss Japan entirely. If you're off 3 degrees, you'll miss Africa. India, Africa, Asia, you'll miss them all. Just 3 degrees off. When you head, you know, depending on which 3 degrees, you will be off course. So, can you get into the kingdom of heaven? Are you seeking the kingdom of heaven and the righteousness of God if you're murdering people? If you're stealing from people, if you're lying to people or lying to yourself, if you're coveting your neighbor's goods, anything that is your neighbor, you know, you're not supposed to covet his wife, you're not supposed to covet your neighbor's goods, anything that is your neighbor's, you're not supposed to even want or do anything to get stuff from your neighbor so that you can satisfy your own lusts and avarice, and whatever. Laziness. Are you getting up every morning and working to obtain what you need to obtain to sustain life on this earth? Good. Thieves and robbers do that. Are you getting up every morning to bless your neighbor with love and righteousness? Because if you're not doing that, you're not a Christian. You're not following Christ. Is a Christian someone who follows Christ? Yeah. Well, if you're not doing that, you're not following Christ. Follow me on that? Okay. So anyway, you have to really repent, turn around, and follow Christ. So anyway, we're reading in Matthew 10:28. It says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, you think that evil's going to destroy you in hell if you're a sinner after you die? No. Evil will destroy your soul now as you live on this earth from hell, if you continue in the ways of sin. What is the ways of sin? Any way that is contrary to the Holy Spirit. So evil from the very beginning has trying to seduce you away from following the Holy Spirit. This is what he was doing in the garden, and this is what he was doing in your crib. And he was doing it in your first day of school. And he was doing it when you were in your first day of high school, in your first day of college, whatever. Throughout progression of your life, Evil has always been there trying to seduce you from following what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. You know, you've all seen the cartoons of the little angel with the harp on one shoulder, and the other shoulder has the angel with the red cape or whatever, you know, pitchfork. And he's trying to tell you to do this, and the other one's trying to tell you to do that. That's imagery of cartoons, but that's not far from reality. That is close to reality. Evil is always trying to seduce you, convince you to go this way instead of that way. And he will dangle carrots. And then that's just the evil influence. Reaching out from hell, from the realm, the spirit realms of hell. People talk about spirits. Well, there's spirits in hell and there's spirits in heaven. And they're both reaching out to you and drawing you towards the ways of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, or drawing you towards the kingdom of hell and the ways of hell. And when we talk about some of the things that make it look like, you know, so that you can see, you know, this seems to be off the path. We know that coveting and being selfish is pulling you off course. So what pulls you back on course? Not being selfish. Not being covetous. It's not enough not to covet your neighbor's goods. You have to love your neighbor as yourself. You have to sacrifice yourself for the good of your neighbor. You have to cast your bread upon the waters. That's one of the steps towards liberty under God. How big a step do you want to take? That's your power of choice. But you should decide according to what the Holy Spirit is telling you. Very few of you people decide anything based on what the Holy Spirit is telling you. You, almost every one of you, decide something on that basis. But almost every one of you, and I have to say almost every one of you, I could almost say every one of you, because the ones who already figured this out, they don't need to listen to my show. It's all you others that are still on the road to tyranny. You know, that's what hell is. Hell is tyranny. Heaven is liberty. It's liberty to do what God wants, but you don't get in unless you love God. And of course, if you love God, you have to love your neighbor, because God loves your neighbor. I mean, he loves your neighbor so much that he gave his only begotten son that your neighbor might be saved, that you might be saved. So are you willing to do that? Most of you aren't willing to give hardly anything to help out your neighbor. You'll sit there like we talked about in the last show, all these people in this nice, plush, white neighborhood were standing around watching a girl be dragged into a car by a total stranger, kicking and screaming, trying to get away from him, and nobody raised a hand to help. They were like frozen. That was one of the things he said. Everybody was just standing there, just absolutely still. That's when he started looking for the cameras. He thought they all knew that this was a camera shoot, you know, in Hollywood. But it wasn't. It was a kidnapping by a total stranger. And nobody did anything except him. And he didn't have to do much. He had to show up. That's all. That's what you have to do, is show up. You have to show up with the spirit that he showed up with. He was willing to... I could tell you another story about that guy. He did more than show up. It was involved some leaping and dragging somebody out of a car. Leaping over a counter and grabbing somebody by the scruff of their neck and drag them out of their moving car. And so, I mean, he was a man of action. Why aren't you guys men of action? Why aren't you? But you need the Holy Spirit when you act. And the amazing thing is, the people that are getting close to the kingdom, they're everywhere. You're not going to find them always in churches. As a matter of fact, a lot of times you're not even going to find them in churches. They're so sick of what you guys are doing in your churches, they don't even go there anymore. So anyway, we were talking about Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to the world, to the age of that time. And that age is like ours. That's why I write Rome versus us and thy kingdom comes, to show you the parallels throughout history, that we keep falling back into the same ruts and pits. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does your mind get renewed? It needs to be renewed by the mind of Christ. How do you do that? You have to come in his name. How do you do that? You have to come to give up your life, to sacrifice, to serve. That's what Christ came to do. So you have to be doing the same. You're going to find that hard. And when you do, there's another moment for repentance and confession, which is what it said that they went down and were baptized and confessed. You have to confess to yourself that you're not doing this right. Metamorpho. You know, Strong's number 3339. Meaning transfigure, transform, change. To change into another form, to transform, to transfigure. You see, when we sinned, we changed in form. We became subject to death. We've been saved by Christ. Why are you still subject to death? Why are you still subject to fear? You know, I started with that fear not. You know, how many times? That phrase alone appears at least 60-some time, almost 70 times in the Bible. Just fear not. Over and over again, we're told fear not. That was the first step towards tyranny, is to fear. Well, the first step away from tyranny, towards liberty, is to fear not. Why don't you give more? Because you're afraid. You're afraid you're going to run out of money. You're afraid you're going to run out of stuff. Well, that fear stifles you. It strangles you. Don't be afraid. Now, I'm not telling you to give to me. Sure, you can support this ministry. But give to one another. Love the one you're with. Gather together in congregations, and those congregations will be filled with the walking wounded. But gather together. Start organizing yourself with the intent of seeking the kingdom of God, and the congregations will work themselves out. So anyway, if we go back up, we'll see that same word in Matthew 17:2. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Now he was transfigured. Now, my friend who walked up to that girl who was being kidnapped and dragged into the car in broad daylight, nobody else was doing anything. All he did was tap gently on the man's shoulder and say, "What's going on here?" And the guy turned around and looked at his face and screamed. Have you ever seen someone possessed by evil? I mean, actually so that the demon comes out of their face. You actually see the demon coming out of their face. Sounds kind of spooky. Kind of like, I mean, a great opportunity for special effects in a movie. The fact is, that's real. That can happen. And when that demon is taking over that person and making them act in this demonic, I mean, you hear about the crimes that are committed. You think there aren't demons occupying people's bodies, making them do these things? Yes. And how and why? Because they have conformed to the spirit of that demon, and that demon has taken them over. What happens when that demon, looking through the eyes of the man, in that man, sees somebody with the transfigured character of Christ? Whoa. He's going to scream. He's going to flee. So they're exposed. When evil is operating through you, they're exposed. But what defense do you have against that evil? How can you defeat that? You can't. It has to be the Holy Spirit in you. How do you get the Holy Spirit in you? You have to make room for the Holy Spirit. You have to conform to Christ. And he shows us what that looks like. But the churches aren't doing it. He's saying, you are not to be like the governments of the Gentiles who exercise authority one over the other and call themselves benefactors. But he who's to be greatest amongst you is to be servant to all. So that's what he's telling you. Is that what you're doing? Nope. Nope. You're going to church to feel good and to be told that you're saved and everything's okay. And you can keep going on and taking from your neighbor through men who exercise authority, and you keep praying to the fathers of the earth. No, you can't. No, you can't. If you do that, you will not have the Holy Spirit in you, and you will not find your way to the kingdom. You will not find your way to righteousness, and you will go into the battle that is coming unarmed and without the armor of God. You need to start being transformed and following the path that Christ laid before us. If you will not follow that path, you will have no inheritance in the kingdom. Now, I will tell you, you cannot follow that path of your own power. You cannot save yourself by your deeds. You save yourself by your repentance, turning around, changing of your mind. When that mind changes, your deeds will change. And God, through grace, will save you. He may not save your body. You may be crucified too. He tells you that. But you will save your soul. That's important. That's really important. But anyway, and you know, soul and spirit are two different things. And people don't understand that. Soul and spirit are two different things. What is your soul? That's where your corporeal and incorporeal hereditaments of personality are. And you know what that is, right? No, you don't know what that is. Okay, well, that's your rights. That's your power. That's the power that God gives you. See, all power is given to Christ, and He will give you power to act in His name if you start actually acting in His name, seeking His ways. If you're not going to, He's not going to give you the power. Now, the world will give you a power. They'll give you the power to exercise authority one over the other. And if you're tempted by that, you will become His minions. In Mark 9:2, we see, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with Him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and He was transfigured before them." Same word. So we see it twice as transfigured. But then we see it in Romans 12:2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed into this creature of white light." You need that white light in order to defend yourself against the realm of darkness. Darkness is the absolute. Somebody was talking about why does God allow evil in the world? Did God create evil? Evil is simply what comes about in the absence of the light of God. When you reject God, evil's going to come about. God didn't create evil. You did. And how did you do that? By rejecting the light of God. Why did you reject the light of God? I'm using light as a metaphor here. You rejected the light of God because the light of God shows you who you are. You were not humble enough and courageous enough to receive the knowledge of yourself. You didn't want to see yourself. I mean, and that's what they're doing in the garden, right? They're hiding. That's why they fled the garden. It's because they couldn't take the light of the cherubim. The light of God drives them away. That's also a beacon. You have to be willing to see the truth about yourself. You have to give up vanity and accept the fact that you're not perfect, that you can only be perfected in the humility in which Christ came to serve others, not Himself. You see, so that struggle to serve others is what's going to draw you near to the light, so that the light may enter into you and find a dwelling place in you, and you will become the temple of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18. "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." See, you don't change yourself. You don't have that power. You have the power to be changed by stopping the vanity, tearing down those walls of vanity and arrogance that has allowed you to be tempted by the evil who has appealed to that vanity. You are gods. You can decide good and evil. You see, he's appealing to your vanity. You can figure this out. You study the Word, and I'll be there with you, helping you read the Word, and I will show you what it means. And you, because you're so smart, you will figure this out. No, that's the devil talking. Now, the Holy Spirit will show you what it means too, but it's a different spirit. It's a spirit of humility. It's not a spirit of your power. It's a spirit of letting God in. And we all do this to some degree. Otherwise, we'd all be dead right now. But we need to do it completely. holy. Put on the full armor of God. See every little crack and cranny in our own souls and being. Every evil that we have chose to follow. And once we choose to follow that evil, it makes us do things that are evil, and we call those things that we do sin. But it isn't the sin, it's the spirit that we're following. And that spirit, interesting spirit. 2 Corinthians 11:13, we see this word transforming. But it's a little bit different word. It's not the same word that we saw in those other verses. It's a different word. In the Greek, it's metamethizo. And it's formed of a couple different words. And it's translated transform and transfer in a figure, transform, self, change. And the same as the other word, it has a number of different ways in which it's translated. And he's talking about that, for such are false apostles. Who's a false apostle? What's he talking about? Who's this false apostle? I think it's really important to know who the false apostles are. Do you know who the false apostles are? I mean, are they Catholic? Are they Methodist? Are they Lutherans? Who are the false messengers of God? Well, they can be almost anybody. They could be the Hanumaka Frau, the cleaning lady. They could be almost anybody. It's telling you something that's false. They're giving you messages that are false. And they can appear in the flesh and they can appear in the spirit. So we're going to read that 2 Corinthians 11:13 about, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They're saying that they're teaching Christ, and they're not. They're saying they are bringing you the truth, and they're not. I could be one of those. How do you know if I am or not? Only the Holy Spirit can reveal this to you. Because a lot of people are accusing me all the time of retranslating the Bible. I only quote the King James Bible. I mean, if I quote any other Bible anywhere, I'll usually, you know, tell you. And it's not because I think the King James Bible is perfect. It's just for consistency. Yes, I look in concordances to find out what word was actually written down by that inspired author, so that I will understand better. But actually, it isn't so that I will understand better. It's iconoclastic. It's to show you that you don't understand as well as you think. You know, if you really understood Christ the way you need to understand Christ, the world would not look like it looks today. Your life would not be in as much trouble as it is in today. Although I don't want to use the fact that your life is messed up as some kind of accusation of sin. Maybe God has put extra burdens on you so that you will, you know, be extra strong to help others. That's like he gives us burdens to strengthen us. But if you're complaining about your condition, if you're going around depressed and upset and, you know, if you're subject to this up and down, bipolar kind of thing, that's a sign that the Holy Spirit is not walking with you. You should be able to overcome that if the Holy Spirit was with you. You should be at peace. Those are signs that something's wrong. You should be very consistent. Now, there will be things, you know, like people have changes chemically in their flesh. And this is going to cause depression to come and tempt you to be angry and to be impatient and be intolerant. But that's just another burden. That's a chemical burden that's put on you. Of course, then some people put chemical burdens on themselves and they take drugs. And that creates even more burdens. But let's take a look at this 2 Corinthians, and we'll go back to the beginning of chapter 11. And we'll read that up to 13 and 14 and a little bit beyond to get an idea of understanding this transforming. And then we'll look at all the different verses that word, particular word, shows up. And they're all part of this metamorphosis, this transform, this change. And the change comes from the spiritual realm. Change the spirit, the physical realm will change. That's the way it works. You don't change the physical realm and alter the spiritual realm. You do it the other way around. The problem is, there are two spiritual realms. There's hell and what we call heaven. There is the righteous realm and something less than righteous, which we call evil, the darker realm. And there are gray areas in the darker realm. So we're going to talk a little bit about how to tell whether this spirit is of God or of the dark realm when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. After this brief break, be right back.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our life seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
For more information, contact us at hisholychurch.org or email us at radio@hisholychurch.org or write us at His Church, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom, and we're talking about a particular Greek word, metaschematizo, which is a word that we see transform as transform in a figure, transform oneself to change. And that's all about shift, and that's what this section is all about, this series is all about, is shift. We see the world shifting towards tyranny, and we want to shift back towards righteousness and towards the ways of God. And the fact is, this happens over and over again in history, and if you study history in detail, that can help you get a perspective in your mind as to what's going on. Now, study alone is not enough, because the origin of tyranny is hell. The origin of righteousness is heaven. And the God of heaven, and the God of creation. God creates, hell devours. If you're taking a bite out of one another to socialism or a socialist state, you are being drawn towards hell, the influence of hell, the changing spirit of hell. It will change you, and you will become selfish and more and more selfish, and it will deteriorate and deteriorate you and your society until, you know, people are murdered and robbed and raped in the streets and the courts, and you don't do anything about it. That's how bad it will get. Wait a minute. It's already gotten that bad. So how do we change? How do we go back? We saw the 10 steps to tyranny. What are the 10 steps back? And so one of them is to be transformed. And the little baby steps that you do in order to be transformed, we're going to take a look at. And we were quoting Corinthians 11:13, and this word transform, which actually comes from a word that means schema. You see, schema. And schema is translated fashion. It appears in the Bible a couple times. It actually has other words that you could translate it into. But it talks about the habitus as comprising everything in a person which strikes the senses, the figure bearing, discourse, actions, manner of life. That's schema. Well, governments have schema, and they have schemes. They have things that touch your life, and they are either based on the spirit of righteousness or something less than the spirit of righteousness, which we call the spirit of unrighteousness, which we label with things like coveting, murdering. Does the government that you serve, does it murder anybody? Does it murder people? Does it think it's okay to murder people? Well, then you're a partaker of its murders. And you may have to be a partaker of its murder because you've sworn an oath to be a partaker of its murder. Does the government you serve, does it covet? Does it encourage you to covet your neighbor's goods? Is it run by men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other? Because if it is, you know it's not a Christian government. But you may be in bondage to it, not only by contract, but by debt. You can't just undo what you say. Sometimes you can. Sometimes you can't. You want to break the bonds which have connected you to this unrighteous system. You have to break the bonds of unrighteousness. In other words, you have to seek to become righteous, which is why the gospel doesn't say, come out of her, my people. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and they'll kick you out. So we don't tell anybody to break their contracts. We tell you to make your yeses yes and your noes no. But we also show you how this worked in the early church, because what the early church was doing works today. Because evil isn't new. There is no new world order. It's the same old, same old. You want to do something about it, you have to change your ways. And you can't do that of yourself. You must be changed. You must be fashioned. You must be conformed. So, in 2 Corinthians 11:13, we see, for such as false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. That's most of the ministers you see today preaching Christ, in my humble opinion. It says, beware of those. And he goes on in the very next verse saying, and no marvel, no surprise, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Evil can appear as an angel of light. He has to put on this masquerade. Evil always has to look good on TV and everywhere else. Now, if he appeared as he really is, you'd say, oh my God, it's an evil, wicked thing. So he's got to put on another image. And we, unfortunately, often want to believe that this is God. Because he's going to cater to our weakness. That's how he works. He caters to our weakness. He's going to tempt us. And he's going to be like any other cult leader. He's going to try to separate you from your family and your friends and your loved ones. He's going to try to isolate you emotionally, physically, because he wants to possess you, control you, manipulate you. He doesn't want to set you free. Now, he's going to offer you freedom, but he's going to get you to reject God. As a whole nation, reject God and follow a way that's not cast up. And he's going to hire lots of ministers to tickle yours and make you feel good about it. He's going to want to make you feel good about it. And if you begin to doubt his message, he's going to say, oh ye of little faith. He's going to use God's own words to try to tempt you to continue to doubt the Holy Spirit. So how do you know, is this spirit really an angel of light? Or is it simply Satan appearing as an angel of light? Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. So he's talking about bearing with him in his folly, and indeed bear with me. And we're back up at 2 Corinthians 11:1. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, and I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. No matter what your status was in the past, he wants to present you as a chaste virgin. He wants you to have one husband. Evil wants you to think you can never return to that one husband. You will never see his face, because he's going to stand between you and the face of God. And Paul goes on to say, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Honor thy father and thy mother. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Simple, simple. Serve others. Don't try to coerce others. Don't try to create the dialectic, you know, and get people to resist evil. Serve one another. How do we do that? How can we do that? For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with me. So bear with me. Because you have accepted another spirit, another gospel, conjured up out of the minds of scholars who did not tell you the whole truth. I mean, the best lie has lots of truth in it, but it is not the whole truth. Verse 5, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Now, I bash you. I'm an iconoclast. Somebody told me that years and years ago when they first saw one of the first articles I wrote, and they said, you're an iconoclast. I had to go look it up. Oh, that's what I do. But I'm a nice iconoclast. You know, I don't really hit you with a board except a board of truth. You have strayed from the way. But that's good news. Because now you can repent, confess your sin, and turn around and start going the other way. And by the grace of God, you can be saved. You can be virgins again. You can see the face of your husband again. But it takes humility and realize that evil has been after you, and after your soul wants to devour your soul, has wanted to do that from the beginning. It has sent one tempter after another to get you to do evil and think that you cannot be forgiven. You can be forgiven. God is anxious to forgive you. Evil doesn't pick on people that they've already got. Evil seeks those they haven't got. Many of you are special to God. And don't worry about, you know, where you fit in that. That's all vanity. And evil knows this. And so evil's going to send more and more demons to tempt you. And they will come in other people. And they will seemingly give you what you think you want and get you to do what you should not do, so that you will never see the face of your husband again. But you can overcome all that with humility and repentance and be renewed in your mind. I mean, this whole drug culture is sent to destroy your ability to think and see. From cigarettes to marijuana to heroin and meth and all these drugs, cocaine, all these things. But also the wealth, the gadgets, the TV, the movies, the music, the glitz is all sent to distract you from the Holy Spirit. You have to be still and know with a humble heart, and God will reveal to you the righteousness of His ways and renew you in mind and body and restore you to what has been taken away. And He shall raise the dead as you choose to raise the dead yourself. You must lay down your life that others may live again. And God will restore you. This is the sacrifice that draws you near to God. Have I committed an offense in abusing myself that ye might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service? In other words, there are many people who have helped me do my mission. And I take time out for you as an individual, for many individuals. I robbed them. I don't really rob them because they gave freely, so that I could take time because God cares about you, that ye might be saved and see your husband again. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man for that which was lacking to me. The brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being a burdensome unto you. And so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Now, these are actual names of real places, but if you look up the names of these places, there's symbols built into those names. Before Paul was God, God is amazing on the levels in which he does all things. He sends you words and Satan distorts them, twists them. He is the sophist of sophists. But the meaning is still there. You cannot find that meaning with the power of your own intellect by the tree of knowledge. It comes through humility and service and sacrifice for others. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. You know, people find it really hard to follow Paul. But he's telling them something. And this is where he gets to verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, and that he does on a regular basis. He wants his ministers to be looking good. He wants his angels of darkness to look as light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. According to their works. What are you doing? What are you doing with your life? How are you being transformed? Are you bearing fruit? Or are you stifled because the image of Satan keeping you from acting as a child of God? We are all born children, and we learn the ways of God within the family. That's where it begins. And we must be faithful to that until the end, and the end draweth near. Are you there? Will you be there at the end? It's very important to draw that family back to their parents when their parents come to end, so that they may make the transition, that the baton is passed to them of what righteousness those parents carried. Because your parents were chosen by God to give you a message. And living out your life with them is a part of knowing the way of God. And you only have so much time to do that in. Waste not that time. 1 Corinthians 4:6, go back to 4:6, and we see, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. That word transferred, that's that same word transformed that we saw back there in 2 Corinthians. We see it again in 2 Corinthians 11:14. Just what we saw in 11:13, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. We see it again in 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He can appear as an angel of light. The adversary can appear good. That's why everybody goes to church to have their ears tickled, to feel good. And they have to feel a little bad to feel good. That's an interesting phenomenon in itself, you know. People like, you know, it says fear not. Yet people like to be frightened. You know, that's why they get on roller coasters. Scare me. That's why they go to, you know, Halloween movies. Scare me. Frighten me. Because it's like you're alive. But it's an illusion. In 2 Corinthians 11:15, we see, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed. Same word again. Every verse, 13, 14, 15. And the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So what are you doing? Back to that. What are you doing that will transform you according to the ways of Christ? And what are you doing that will transform you according to the ways of Satan? Satan wants you to turn away from righteousness. It wants to turn towards self-righteousness. But it wants to turn away from righteousness. Now, be at peace, my brethren. God wants you to be at peace. His light brings peace, not confusion, not anxiety. It releases you, but it releases you where you are not drained, where you find yourself not in the lowest place that you've ever been, or in lower than you were last week. It raises you up. It brings you at peace. It brings a calm. It doesn't necessarily tell you where you're going. So if your revelation is draining you and taking you down, it is not the revelation of God's light. It is the revelation of evil. It can appear as light. It can fool you. It has fooled us from the beginning. Do not feel that you are in poor company. All have been fooled. But now what are you going to do? Now that you've been awakened to the fact that something has appeared as an angel of light, how can you find righteousness? How can you have a renewing of a spirit where you are never more stronger than you ever were? Where you are never more at peace than you ever were? Because if you're not feeling that, you're not following the ways of God. If you have to constantly go back and be renewed by your preacher, that's not a good sign. Now, if you are seeking righteousness, you will gather together, but you will be renewed by service to others, not renewed by somebody tickling your ears. Philippians 3:21, we see the word again. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? How do we do that? How is that done? Who shall change our vile body? We all have vile bodies. We all are sinners. We have all been tempted. The more you're tempted, chances are the more Satan wants you. Why? Because he knows you're precious to the Lord. And he will send minion after minion to tempt you. And he will put on all sorts of disguises to tempt you. And how do you know? Because when he leaves, you're drained. You're exhausted. You're in a down place. You're lost. God's light shows us the way, energizes us. It doesn't drain us. Know this, God loves you. And until then, may peace be always upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.